Welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast. Thank you for pushing the pause button and joining us today. Today's title is Five Ways to Halt Your Hurry. Five ways to halt your hurry. Are you in a hurry these days? Do you feel as if life is just screaming by and you're holding on to the tail most days? This podcast is for you. If you are tired of the hustle and bustle, being the boss of you. Our mission at Edge Got In is to champion your human potential in Christ. We actually pull from adult learning methodology, current adult learning methodology. How do you learn best? How can you learn something new? And then how can you best transfer that into your behavior so that you can actually witness an impact as a result of your new learnings? We also are going to pull from when the Holy Spirit guides us to pull a little bit from neuroscience. How does your brain work? How do you create messaging systems? How can you create new messaging systems? How do you make Romans 12, 1 through 2, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, a reality for you? We'll also throw in a little bit of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. Simply put, it's how you process life through your five senses and the meaning you give it. And that meaning can be changed. As you jump into the Word of God, you're going to find that the power of the Holy Spirit using and making the Word of God come alive in your life, that you become transformed into the image and likeness of Christ as we go along this journey. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Holy Spirit, help us to stand firm and not allow ourselves to be burdened by the yoke of slavery. Galatians 5:1, one of our foundational verses. The yoke of slavery we're talking about today is hurry. It's the rush of life that has sabotaged the experience of being still and knowing that God is God. Are you tired of the hurry in your life? Have you given it more authority than you have to the quiet, silent, holy night experience of Jesus within you, a relationship with Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Let's jump in. We're going to have a clarity of focus for accuracy of response today, in that we're just focusing on one specific set of scriptures, one that perhaps you're familiar with, or perhaps you're joining for the first time and wondering, who the heck is Jesus? Why should I care? And what can I learn? Today's reading is pulled from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 41, and it's the well-known story of Mary and Martha. There's actually been books written about this. Are you a Martha or are you a Mary? So today we're going to take a deeper dive into this to really do an examination of your own consciousness before we enter the new year. I'm recording this actually a few days before Christmas 2020. It's an incredible time to really sit back and ask yourself some coaching questions. What do I want to leave behind? What do I want to prune for growth to make more space for my relationship with God in my life in the new year? What do I want to do more of in order to up the ante when it comes to me experiencing that personal relationship with Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Who, by the way, says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy burdened, those who are hustling around in life, feeling they have no time to do the things that they value most in life. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So this is a wonderful opportunity at the juncture between a year that just passed and a new year coming for us to get off the stage of the drama, take a deep breath, and really lean into this story with that sense of eager expectation that the Holy Spirit will wake up something within you that perhaps has fallen asleep or lulled to sleep by the hustle and bustle of life. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would give us wisdom. Perhaps we've heard this story many times, but today we want to see it differently. we want to look through it through the eyes of self-awareness, truly being ready to prune for growth, to let go of those behaviors and those time sucks in our lives that are preventing us from sitting at your feet and truly encountering the depth of the love that you have for us. Help us to be conscious of your presence in this story, as well as confident in our ability to be able to transfer this story and the meaning of it that you desire to resurrect in our hearts into our behavior, Lord, in the new year, into our choices on how we choose to spend our time. Give us the grace to be able to hear your voice over the screams and the clamor of the world. Help us to release those trinkets that are non-essential, yet we have found ourselves addicted to them, whether they be the trinket of social media or our phones or scrolling, whatever habits that we've created, Lord, that have blocked our ability to hear your still, small voice saying to us, be still and know that I am God. Lead us on, Lord. This study we dedicate to you. May the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight for your glory and for the edification of everyone that's listening in today. May they walk away with a little bit of a lighter version of themselves as they lean more into you and less into the shiny objects of the world. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sit before the Holy Spirit and see what God has for you today. I'm reading through a very powerful book right now called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, because this is an area I really want to be attentive to when I enter the new year. I want to hurry less. How about you? And I'd like to be able to make more room for the beautiful ways that God comes to me in my day-to-day life. The hurry lulls the voice, our ability to tune into the voice of God behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it. So let's take a look at that well-known story that Jesus encountered when he walked the earth from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 41. Beginning at 38, verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Jesus models for us in this scripture what is most important in life. He just lays it out for us. This is the better thing. Not to say that it's not important to organize, to clean your house, to have an agenda, to have goals. He's not saying that that's not important. He's simply saying this is most important. What do you want to do with that today? When you take a look at your life and the allotment of your time, you have a certain amount of time in a day. What percentage of your time is sliced up into different things other than sitting at the Lord's feet? In fact, that's a fun little coaching activity for you to do, is to create circles or buckets for all of the specific areas that take up your time and attention. You can do this professionally, you can do this personally. You can have one for yourself professionally. You can have the buckets for your time allotment and time and attention personally. What are your top four time sucks in your life? And do they align with what you value most? So that's another coaching tool that you can take a moment to do, is to really lean into, what are the top 3 to 5 things that I value most in life? And once you have those, and then you have right beside it, those buckets or those circles that contain the different focuses of your time during your day, whether it be, I spend this much on personal wellness, I spend this much time in my day on my job. And then you can even break that down into different aspects of what you're doing for your job or your career. And then you might add, I do have time for my family. This is how much time I spend with my family. This is how much time I spend in creative thought. Perhaps that's not even a bucket that you give yourself time during the day because the other areas are screaming for your attention. When you get off the stage and truly take a moment to write down the different buckets that take up your time and attention, then you can ask yourself the coaching question, how do these align with what I value most? And where do I want to adjust in the new year? Then just create a T-chart on one side, say more of, on the other side, say less of, based on your observations on where you have been putting your time and attention with those buckets or those circles that you'll draw out and your values. What do you want to do more of in the new year? What do you want to do less of? All the while keeping in mind that our goal, spiritually speaking, with our journey with Christ, is to halt the hurry, to slow things down. This was the invitation that Jesus had to Martha. Martha, Martha, you can put your name in there. Lauren, Lauren, you're worried about many things. So put your name in there today. What are you worried about? What's occupying your time and your attention? Put your name in there. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. You're worried and upset about many things. What are those many things that you're worried about at the end of this year? Get them out on paper. They're taking up your time. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. So what do you want to do more of? What do you want to do less of? Let's just take a deeper dive into hurry in general. Have you ever said any of these comments to yourself? Use the phrase slow to describe something you don't like. For example, you go to a movie, your friend asks you, or you watch a movie. How was it? It was slow. The movie was slow. You go to a meeting. How was the meeting? It was slow. You've made the connection with slow and something bad, something you don't want. And yet we see in scripture here that Mary had slowed down her life enough to sit at the feet of Jesus. So back to the questions. Have you ever felt a sense of urgency about every task that you do in a day? That if I were to ask you to score the urgency for each task that you desire to accomplish in that day, do they all have a high number? Or is it easy for you to say, no, these are my top three, and the rest of these I can allow to work out through the week? Perhaps you experience guilt because you don't have enough time to focus on what you value most in life. You ever been in that place? Maybe you have felt unsuccessful or unproductive anytime you're not on task. Do you feel guilty when you sit on the couch and take a breather or just step away from things for a moment? Do you have this urgency that's kind of eating up inside of you? You got to do something. You got to do something. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Or perhaps you have a hard time unplugging from your phone or computer or iPad. There's actually an anxiety disorder called nomophobia that is one that's just come up in the last decade where people's anxiety actually increases, including their blood pressure and the stress hormone when their phone is not in the vicinity where that you can grab it. It's in the other room. You have this anxiety that you perhaps might miss something or the fear of missing out. Maybe you get anxious or feel the urge frequently during the day to check social media. These are all areas that you're just doing a self-reflection and think about how you might answer this or reflect on this. Do you get anxious when your phone's in the other room? Do you feel the frequent urgency to check your social media? How about this? When you are given a gift of time, for example, a canceled meeting, you immediately go to something else on your to-do list rather than embracing the moment to breathe and connect with the Lord. You instantly fill the gap rather than sit at the Lord's feet for that moment. Or perhaps you're having a conversation with someone and you have no idea what that person just said to you because your mind was swirling around, what am I going to do next? What am I going to do next? These are all questions to perfect timing. We're ending a one year and we're going into another year. Let's do a little examination of consciousness, get off the stage and reflect on this. If you said yes to more than the three of the areas that I just mentioned, you've been hijacked by hurry. The definition of hurry is to move or act with haste. It's an uncomfortable, subtle tug to do rather than be in life. And it robs you of the life in front of your face. It robs you of the opportunity to get to know the lover of your soul. And by this, I mean you get to feel the presence of God's love for you. That's why the Sabbath was put in place, so that we can connect, so that we can worship and pray and connect with God. It doesn't have to be contained just on Sunday. It's referred to as Shabbat, which means stop. Stop what you're doing and rest. You can bring out those little gift stops into your day. For example, when you do have time found, it's a gift stop. What if you were to look at that as a gift stop to reconnect with God in the moment? Perhaps this is why mindful living is gaining so much interest these days. They refer to it as mindful living. Yet we know that it's truly an invitation to connect with the lover of your soul. We now have a legitimate title for when you're hijacked in life, actually. It's called hurry sickness. And this was actually coined by a prominent cardiologist back in the 50s when he realized that all of his heart disease patients had one thing in common. They were all in a chronic rush. Do you fall into that area? Are you in a chronic rush? This is a great time to pause and really reflect on what do you want to do less of? What do you want to do more of? To make more room for your connection with the Lord. By definition, hurry sickness simply means a behavior pattern that's characterized by continually rushing and anxiousness. It's an overwhelming and continual sense of urgency, a malaise in which a person feels chronically short of time and so tends to perform every task faster and gets flustered when encountering any kind of delay. Do you recognize yourself? Hurry sickness is actually defined by this book that I'm reading, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Comer. It's defined by some specific things. So again, see if you recognize yourself as I'm reading off this list, because this can give you the opportunity then to do something about it, to offer a change behavior, to slow down in the new year and be more of a Mary than a Martha. So the first characteristic, if you suffer from hurry sickness, is irritability. Are you irritable? Are you that person that people feel like they're walking on eggshells around and don't want to interrupt you for fear that you might explode? The second one is hypersensitivity. You have a tendency to take things personally. You take offense very easily because you're busy being busy. Your emotional responses do not align with the reality of the situation. Maybe you're restless. And these are all areas to literally flip into the lap of Christ. Help me, Lord, I'm restless. I can't even slow down without thinking of the next thing that I want to do. Are you restless? When you do intentionally slow down, your mind keeps racing with all the stuff you feel you need to do. You're Martha-ing it. You're not marrying it. You're not sitting at Jesus' feet as Mary did. You're Martha. I've got to get the house in order. I've got to get dinner on the table. Again, not to say that these things aren't important. Jesus is just pointing out this is the most important thing you can do. So with the amount of time that you have in your day, do you intentionally make time to be quiet before the Lord. Lord, before I jump into this day, I know I will be restless, hypersensitive, and irritable, unless you come in. Show me and remind my mind what I need to remember in order to let go of the hurry that has literally hijacked my life. So you can make any of these a specific prayer. Moving on to the next characteristic, workaholism, guilty, or just nonstop activity. You don't or can't stop doing to the point that when the sun sets, you have nothing left for your loved ones. You're exhausted. Perhaps it's emotional numbness. That's another characteristic trait of hurry sickness, because you're so busy being busy, empathy gets left in the dust. You simply don't have time for it. The next character trait is out of order priorities. You don't align your time with what you value most. This is that exercise that I'm inviting you to do. Create circles on a big blank piece of paper. Go get yourself a foam board. Make the containers of the circles. These are the circles that occupy my time. Really reflect on that. Lord, do these circles make room for you? Or is this all Martha-ing it in life? So out of order priorities, you don't align your time with what you value most, which was the other activity I invited you to do. Write down 3 to 5 of your top values. And what percentage of your time during your day do you spend on honoring those top values in your life? For example, let's say you honor time with your kids, and you honor prioritizing making that number one in your life. And yet your behavior is counter to that. You don't show up at games. You don't spend time asking them how their day was without looking at your phone. You don't intentionally carve out the most important time after they've experienced something new in life or experienced a day to really be present pretty closely after they've experienced something to be able to capture their perceptions and their personal things that they want to share with you after that experience. Do you have out of order priorities? Perhaps you have lack of care for your body. Ooh, this is a good one. Basically, being busy results in not enough time to take care of your body. Who has time to exercise in the midst of hurry? Maybe it's escapist behaviors. When we stop being renewable, and you've heard me mention the definition of renewable, means you can expend energy without depleting the source. When you are living a hurried lifestyle, you deplete the source. Where do you get your renewable energy? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Lord, I know if you don't show up today, it's not going to be a good day. I want to do life with your energy, not mine, because I know mine is limited. So give me the grace to lean into you first and foremost before I begin my day, because your energy is always renewable, and I want more of that. So perhaps it's the escapist behaviors that drop in when you stop being renewable, being able to expend energy without depleting the source. You turn to unhealthy behaviors for escape, social media addiction, Netflix binging, overeating, undereating, name your escape route, gossiping. Perhaps it's slippage of spiritual disciplines. In the book, this is one piece that I really resonated with, the ruthless elimination of hurry. He mentioned something that I started, a behavior that I started doing in college after I accepted Christ. It was the quiet time. And the quiet time has kind of gone to the wayside in many of our lives, in my lives, particularly when it's really busy. And it's time to bring it back. That quiet time in the morning, the calm, silent presence of God with the gift of each new dawn. Do you meet him there? Do you put him first, God first? Everything else follows from there. Do you sit at his feet first thing in the morning, reading the scriptures, inviting God in? Do you have a quiet time with the Lord? You can also bring that throughout the day at the top of every hour or in between transitions. Pull your quiet time through. Lord, I know I spoke to you about this morning. Please give me the grace to be patient about this. Help me to be present to that person. Just keep the conversation going and then end your day, bookend your day with that quiet time. At the end of the day, you can ask yourself questions like, Lord, where would I have wanted to add more love today and make you present? What would that have looked like for me? Because when you actually take time to reflect, you'll remember that reflection and you'll be more apt to put that time and attention toward that thing where you would have wanted to add more love or patience or kindness the following day. So you tend to let those things that truly strengthen you from the inside out slide to the back of your time and attention. When I was diagnosed with cancer 1 week prior to my final divorce court date, my spiritual life, my connection with God flipped back to the front seat of my attention very quickly. What's it going to take for you to reboot that source, the source of your emotional energy in life? You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. All things are possible for those who believe. If you lack wisdom, ask for it. Do you spend that quiet time asking, seeking, knocking for that extra strength to step into the person that God's calling you to be that day? That's the slippage of spiritual disciplines, is another character trait of hurry sickness. And last but not least, isolation. You isolate yourself within the vault of your overactive mind. I took a course one time called How to Calm the Overactive Mind. You slowly slip away from your ability to be in the moment and connect with the life in front of your face. Perhaps a child laughing, the beauty of a sunset, the celebration of another person's victory over an illness, the blooming of a tree that's been dormant all winter. Those beautiful moments of creation and creativity and innovation, innovative thinking, to think of something in a new way that you can transfer into your behavior and therefore even be more productive. So do you have hurry sickness? I just went through some of the character traits: irritability, hypersensitivity, restlessness, workaholism, emotional numbness, out of order priorities, lack of care of your body, escapist behaviors, slipping of spiritual disciplines, and isolation. Taken from the book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Comer. Thoughtfully take a moment to reflect on those symptoms. Once you've identified what's not working in your life, you're now in a position to explore some options. In Sherpa Executive Coaching, which is another thing that we bring into the podcast, is coaching, executive and life coaching. We have something called Weakness Mountain, and it has 4 steps to it. Once you've identified something you want to do less of, you ask yourself the coaching question, how does this show up in behavior? Once you've acknowledged that, you observe who, what, where, when. Where does this show up? Where does this restlessness show up? How does it show up in behavior? Perhaps it shows up, I can't seem to keep my attention when it's something that's not on my to-do list. Once you've acknowledged it, you observe it, then you're in the position to offer a change behavior by the power of the Holy Spirit. Dear God, what would you like me to do instead of this? Instead of this workaholic behavior, instead of restlessness and the behavior that goes along with it, instead of being irritable, Lord, what's a change behavior? Perhaps it's simply breathing, getting off the stage when you feel irritable and saying a prayer. Dear God, one of the things I value most in life is making you recognizable. Help me in this moment, in spite of my strong emotions, to make you recognizable. That's a change behavior. You can offer a prayer. You can come up with an acronym. Perhaps it's pause. Perhaps it's stop. Perhaps it's pray. Something to stop that neural pathway in your brain from firing that habitual behavior that's associated with the hurry sickness. As we're heading into the new year, think about what you want to do more of and what you want to do less of. Remember the movie Click by Adam Sandler? He was in it, and I think he was part of producing it. It's called Click. If you haven't seen it, it's a wonderful movie because it wakes you up to see that you can get hijacked. You could fast forward through life. Are you fast forwarding through life because you suffer from hurry sickness? Adam at the end realized what was happening and then went back with much gratitude that he had an opportunity to do it again. God gives us an opportunity every day. And as we read through Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. We could have added anything to this. You're hurrying through life. You're irritable. You're a workaholic. You're worried about many, many things, but only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." Jesus is the model for what's most important in life, our relationship with him. We are worried and upset about many things to the point where it's actually causing a sickness. Self-recognition is the first phase of emotional intelligence, according to Goleman. It's being aware of and conscious of, having that deeper understanding, what is going on. I do not like the way I'm showing up, and I want to make a change. That's that ownership and remembering not who you are, that's the doing part of life, but whose you are, that's the being part of life. Will you give yourself permission to be a child of God and allow yourself to sit at the feet of Jesus by consciously making and carving out that time in the morning, throughout the day, and in the evening, that quiet time? Bring it back. Have that self-recognition that the only thing that matters, the one thing that matters, that's better, meaning that doesn't mean you can't do your list and clean your house and make your meal. Don't lose sight of the one thing that is better. Slow down and sit with your Savior. Be still and know that God is God, sovereign over all else that troubles you, that causes you to hurry. Another coaching question to ask yourself when you're in a rush is simply, what am I running around? What am I in such a rush for? What am I afraid of if I slow down? Those are a couple questions. What am I afraid of if I slow down? What am I afraid that I'll lose if I slow down? What's this about for me? What do I want to believe about myself in Christ to help me to rest in the Lord? So there are five things that you can intentionally do. One, I already mentioned that, and that's the quiet time. Resurrect the quiet time in your life. Two, breathe and slow down. Be very conscious of your breath. Do spiritual breathing. Breathe in the Holy Spirit. Breathe out the worry and anxiety. Breathe in the Holy Spirit. Breathe out the anxiety that you have in the moment. Identify your emotion associated with that tumultuous feeling that's keeping you in hurried sickness. Breathe and slow down. 90% of your biological energy is oxygen fueled. Yes, 90%. 70% of toxins leave your body every time you exhale. See how many deep breaths, deep intentional breaths you can take every hour, thinking about breathing in the presence of God, exhaling distractions. My grandfather lived to 98 years old, and one of the habits that he had every morning was that he came out and he took 20 deep breaths before starting the day. Take these mini retreats between your transitions so that you can see, feel, taste, touch the present moment. And wake up to the life in front of your face in Christ. Dear Lord, show me as I pause and get off the stage right now what you want me to tune into in this meeting that I'm about to enter. Show me, dear God, the person you want me to be while I'm doing what I'm doing this next hour. And that's the third simple way to halt your hurry. The first one is resurrect the quiet time. Second one is breathe and slow down. Third one is meditate and pray. Meditate, which Paul in the translation of the scriptures, meditate on what is good, right, true, beautiful, excellent, and praiseworthy. That means intentionally think about, dwell, camp on top of that prayer. As soon as you wake up in the morning before grabbing any electronic device, pray throughout the day, concentrate. Contemplation and concentration is hijacked in the dust storm of hustle. When you pause and pray throughout the day, it's not just the quiet time, but intentionally make your life a prayer. Keep that conversation going. Appreciative inquiry is from adult learning, and it gives you the opportunity to intentionally quiet the mind, to think about what's working, why is it working, and how you can do more of that. Bring that into the scriptures, commit your plans to the Lord, and they will succeed. Dear God, show me what is working that you want me to continue working on. Show me how to do more of that and glorify you. So you can take that teaching and adult learning and bring it into Christ. And the fifth, let's see, the first one is quiet time. Second one is breathe and slow down. Third one is meditate and pray. Fourth one is to read and journal, preferably a paper book. Read something to help you focus on what is good, right, true, beautiful, excellent, and praiseworthy. Yes, of course, the scriptures, number one, sit at Jesus' feet. It's God's way to communicate with you. Prayer is your way to communicate with God. So have that fellowship and then read. When on the Sabbath, honor the Sabbath, read something. Perhaps it's a book that was recently launched that I spoke about, Stop Letting the World Be the Boss of You, 25 Solutions to Refresh Your Identity in Christ. Perhaps it's this book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Comer. There are plenty of options for you to read and to journal. The book, Stop Letting the World Be the Boss of You, actually, that I recently launched with a colleague friend of mine this last year, actually has, it's interactive. So it has an opportunity for you to journal and read at the same time. And you can see that link that's associated with the podcast at edgegodin.com. Last but not least, the fifth one, do at least one random act of kindness each day. Hurry is very self-absorbed. Counter this tendency by intentionally making someone else's day a little brighter. Intentionally seek out at least one give back project in your day. Ask the Holy Spirit again. You can bring in another one of the ways to halt your hurry. Dear God, show me, who can I give back to today? It could be as simple as calling up a friend or colleague and letting someone know, hey, I see you and you matter. I appreciate you. We all have a deep-seated desire to know that we matter. Why not be that person who reminds other people of their value intentionally? So overall, we have five simple ways to halt your hurry. Resurrect the quiet time in the new year. Breathe and slow down. Number two. Number three, pray, meditate. Four, read and journal. Five, do at least one random act of kindness guided by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows who you know. Holy Spirit knows also what he desires to do through you to edify and encourage someone else in your life. Four, or that's the fifth one actually. Do at least one random act of kindness each day. Overall, align your time and attention with what you value most. Health and wellness, meaningful relationships, contribution, spirituality, fun. Write down your top three values and then reflect on what percentage of your time and attention you spend honoring these values in your day. Identify and adjust. What do I want to do more of in the new year? What do I want to do less of? And that's that T chart that I mentioned you can use. Now, as with all of the podcasts, you're looking for one to three things that you want to transfer. So we've covered quite a bit in the area of our topic today, five ways to halt your hurry. What is your biggest takeaway from today? What do you commit to moving forward, that you really want to see a difference when it comes to halting your hurry in your life. Listen to this podcast again, have a pen and paper, ask the Holy Spirit, okay, Lord, what are my 1 to 3 takeaways here that I commit to in the new year transferring into behavior? Perhaps it's the T-chart. Lord, guide me. What do you want me to do less of? What do you want me to do more of? Perhaps it's writing down the buckets or the circles on a foam board or a large blank piece of paper that symbolize where you're putting your attention throughout the day. And writing down your top 3 to 5 values and really leaning into seeing how you're spending your time, talent, and treasure, attention throughout the day and making some adjustments. I want to do more of this. I want to do less of that moving forward. Which one of the 5 ways do you want to transfer? Do you want to commit more to a quiet time? Perhaps you already have a quiet time going. Do you want to slow down and breathe more? Make prayer and meditation a lifestyle and not just a quiet time? Read and journal? Or do at least one random act of kindness throughout the day? Choose something that you want to transfer to make more room for the halt. Something that you can do to halt, to slow down, to listen to the voice of God behind you saying, this is the way. Don't go there, go here. And so that you could feel the depth of his love for you as well. God adores you. Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. Only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken away from her. Enjoy your gift of life. Have a blessed Christmas celebration. I read something the other day when I was walking out of church that said, true wise men still seek Christ. Or true wise men seek Christ. Something along those lines. It halted me in my tracks and I sat and just kind of, I stood there and I thought, that's a good one. True wise men and women still seek Christ, just as they did a long time ago when our lives changed, when God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that those who believe in him will never perish but have eternal life. Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to pause. Thank you for the gift of this last year. We're still here. You have work to do within our lives. Help us to halt the hurry. Help us to step off the stage of the rush so that we can sit before the manger. We can experience the silent holy night experience of your presence within our hearts and souls. Give us the grace of peace that passes all human understanding. So much has happened this year, Lord. We're thankful that you're in charge, ultimately in charge of everything. We know that you have plans to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us hope in a future. So Jesus, we trust in you. You take care of everything. Jesus, we trust in you. You take care of everything. Jesus, we trust in you. You take care of everything. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Be blessed. Enjoy your beautiful season with your family and with your loved ones this Christmas, and enjoy the New Year celebration as well. Visit us at edgegodin.com for more podcasts. And if you've been inspired by today's podcast, please pass it along. This is a mission to edge God in more today than yesterday and to champion your human potential in Christ. God bless you. Give him heaven out there. There's enough of the other side going on.